It's his time on Worldwide KFUO, AM 850 in St. Louis, KFUO.org online Friday. And that means it's time for the Creation Club. Pastor Warren Worth joins us on the line. Good Friday morning.
Good morning, Buzz.
Well, it looks to me like we've got plenty to talk about this morning.
We do. We certainly do. As we are approaching the summer solstice here in just a few days, we're the longest day of the year. We think about the sun and long days here. Well, it reminds us of a couple of arguments that Christians should not use as proof of the truth of the Bible and the Bible's account of creation.
Oh?
A couple of articles appeared on the Answers in Genesis website recently, both of them by Dr. Danny Faulkner. Dr. Danny Faulkner is an astronomer. He worked for many years at the University of South Carolina, and now he works full-time with Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. So he's a Bible-believing Christian, believes in a young earth creation, six-day creation. You know, he is a Christian who really follows what the Bible says on all of these things. And he also has his doctorate in astronomy, very knowledgeable about those things as well. And he reminds us that there are arguments that sometimes have been used over and over again by people, and they don't seem to die, even though they've been debunked. And so we need to be careful as Christians not to use arguments that have already been long disproved. And one of those has to do with NASA computers proving Joshua's long day. Well, what do we mean by Joshua's long day? In Joshua chapter 10, we read about how the Lord gained a great victory for Joshua and the Israelites against their enemies. And it involved that they were fighting, and Joshua prayed to the Lord, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Aijalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nations nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. So what is recorded there in the Bible, we believe, really happened. That miracle that is described there truly happened. But trying to prove it is another thing. And this story that's been on the internet for a long, long time, and it's been debunked numerous times, is that back in the 1960s, during the Apollo program, when they were preparing for the Apollo moon landings, a computer at NASA calculated the positions of the Earth, Moon, and other solar system bodies with great precision far into the past, and that supposedly this computer program produced a glitch in the 15th century BC, a glitch that caused by solar system bodies not being in the correct positions, indicating that nearly a day was missing from time. An additional 40 minutes also is missing several centuries later, so that the total missing time was one full day. Supposedly, NASA scientists and engineers puzzled over this problem until one of them opened the Bible to Joshua chapter 10 and to 2 Kings chapter 20. In 2 Kings chapter 20, you have the story of Hezekiah and how he had been told that he was going to die, and he prayed to the Lord, and Isaiah told him that he would live, he would recover and live, and when he asked for a sign, then the sign that was given to him that was that the shadow went back 10 steps on the stairs of Ahaz, and that was, again, proof that God was going to fulfill his promise to him by this miracle of the shadow moving backward 10 steps on the staircase there. And so all these things, but again, that's a miracle we really do believe happened. What the Bible says is the truth. But did NASA computers really find this? It's interesting, as you read the article by Dr. Faulkner, that he says, "The person who appears to be responsible for this story is Harold Hill, president of the Curtis Engine Company in the late 1960s. I find that amusing because wasn't it Harold Hill who was the character in The Music Man?
Yeah.
Was yes. A flim flam man. So what an interesting coincidence that is. But anyway, when you read the article by Dr. Faulkner, he explains that that's not true, that there was no such glitch, and could not have been. And that's what he goes on to explain. The problem with the story is that a computer could not find such a discrepancy in the positions of solar system bodies. In order for a discrepancy to be found, we must know exactly where things were at some time in the past prior to Joshua's long day, so that the calculated positions can be compared. A computer can calculate only where things ought to have been in the past. It cannot compute where things actually were in order to make a comparison. And so that's an important point that kind of brings this whole message home. And he says, actually, even before there were computers, a similar false claim was made back in the 1890s. There was a book by C.A.L. Totten called Joshua's Long Day and the Dial of Ahaz, A Scientific Vindication and a Midnight Cry. And so they didn't have modern-day computers to do those calculations, but Mr. Totten claimed that he had calculated all these things going backwards, and how many days, forward from the day of creation and backward from his day, 1890, and he calculated there was a discrepancy. If you calculated the days from the first day of creation till the time of Joshua and from his, Totten's day in the 1890s back to Joshua's day, that the dates didn't match up, and so he thought that that also proved Joshua's long day. But once again, people would realize you were not able to do that kind of calculation with that kind of precision for that actually to be valid. So once again, the long and short of this particular thing is we should not use that argument or easily fall for it. And when we run into it on the internet, or if our friends share with us such a story, tell them, I believe the Bible like you do. I believe the miracles of the Bible are absolutely true, but that is a false story. The NASA computers did not prove and could not prove Joshua's long day, which leads us to another argument, if we have a little more time to talk here.
We sure do.
Another article by Dr. Danny Faulkner. Again, he's an astronomer with Answers in Genesis, had worked with the University of South Carolina for many years. His article is called, Is the Sun Shrinking? And I recall back in the late 70s, early 80s, where this argument was being used by people in the creation movement to prove the young universe, that if the sun is shrinking and you can measure the rate at which it is shrinking, then you could extrapolate backwards, and it would be ridiculous. It would prove that the sun and the earth could not be nearly as old as the 4.5 billion years that evolution-believing scientists claim it is. Well, we don't believe in the vast time periods that the evolutionists claim. We think that is wrong. We believe the Bible's account that would lead to a much younger universe, about 6,000 years. But this argument is not one that should be used in making that case. Basically, it goes back to 1969. Two scientists presented a brief paper at the meeting of the American Astronomical Society, in which they presented evidence that the sun may be shrinking. And this was based on a previous understanding or thought of what powered the sun, what's the source of the sun's energy. And in the 19th century, there were a couple of scientists, Lord Kelvin and Hermann von Helmholtz, that proposed that the sun derived its energy from the conversion of gravitational potential energy. In other words, the sun would shrink, and as it was shrinking, that would give it the energy it needed to give off that light and energy that it does. And in 1979, this paper that was presented argued that the sun may indeed be shrinking. But afterwards, when people were checking it out, it panned out that that was not true. The shrinking sun hypothesis has been thoroughly investigated, both by people who do believe the biblical account of creation, as well as scientists who don't believe the biblical account of creation. And the long and short of it is that now we are quite certain that the power source of the sun is fusion of hydrogen into helium and not from gravitational contraction. And so there is not evidence of the sun shrinking so that you could use that as an argument for the young universe. There's plenty of other things that do tie in as scientific evidences for a young universe, but this is not one of them. So again, we have to come back to the point that we know the Bible is true. We know the Bible is true because God is the author of His Word, right? And all Scriptures, God-breathed. And so, since the God-breathed Scriptures are from the one who created heaven and earth and all that they contain, we can be certain that everything in Scripture is true, including the account of creation. And all of that ties into the story of the fall into sin and our need for a Savior, and that God promised and in the fullness of time sent that Savior, Jesus Christ, to be our crucified, risen Savior and Lord. He died for us. He rose again. He atoned for our sins. And we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness that is promised to us by God's grace alone, on account of Christ alone, to be received by faith in Him who is our crucified and risen Savior and Lord. And as we've just heard from Ken Ham in the portion right before our program came on, when you read the New Testament, you can see that Jesus and the apostles certainly believed the account of creation in Genesis and did not in any way try to explain it away as millions and billions of years. So, you know, it certainly all ties together, and we should not doubt the Bible. But as we're defending the Bible, which is what Christian apologetics is about, you know, defending the faith by using arguments that can go against and counter the arguments of the doubters and skeptics, we need to be aware that we're using solid arguments, ones that are both logically valid and scientifically valid as well. And so these two, the shrinking sun and the NASA computers finding Joshua's long day, are two arguments that we should no longer use. And if you run into them, you can lovingly point out to your Christian friends that we believe what the Bible says, but we don't believe those particular arguments because they've been shown not to be true. Okay, we still have a few minutes left.
Yeah, we still have a couple more minutes here.
Okay, well,
I'm sure the way things go, you've usually had at least one thing in your hip pocket you haven't used in a while.
Well, the one thing that we could tie it all together.
Sure.
Again, talking about the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter opening here soon. And you've heard Ken Ham talking about that in the piece before we went on the air this morning. I don't know if any of our listeners are planning to go there, but it's an exciting thing that they're coming up with this Ark Encounter, which is a life-size replica of the Ark of Noah's Day. And the opening is scheduled for July 7th, and because they're anticipating such large crowds for the first 40 days, and that's interesting, for the first 40 days of the opening of the Ark Encounter, they will have both daytime and nighttime tickets. So when you buy a ticket, you know, it's like from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. or from 4 p.m. till, you know, 7 hours after that, I guess 11 o'clock or something like that, that they're going to have the Ark open and you can take tours of it. This is the first phase of that Ark Encounter. They intend, as time goes on and as money becomes available, to keep adding to it. But it has quite a lot of features already. And apparently former President Jimmy Carter visited it recently, got a special sneak preview. He and his wife were given a tour, and there are some photos on the Answers in Genesis website with Ken Ham and others, with former President Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalind. And so that's kind of interesting as well. And go ahead.
And for those that like to look through the stories that we discuss, you can always go to the Answers in Genesis page, which is answersingenesis.org. And you can search particularly for an article or a particular topic, and they've got many, many things. And that's their search engine is really fantastic. You'll find exactly what you want.
Exactly so. And these articles are all archived. And so what you and I were talking about, you go to the first homepage, and they have articles that are current, but then as you scroll down, you can say, click on where it says more articles and go back, and you'll find lots and lots and lots of very interesting stuff. In fact, there's an article that's up recently about how do you know how old the universe is, and an article that was in Forbes magazine. And again, so people who read this kind of stuff out there, if you read Forbes magazine and you read that article, you say, well, we know the universe is 13.5 billion years old because da-da-da-da-da. Well, again, we have good Bible-believing Christians who have their degrees, you know, PhDs in scientific disciplines, who can take you through that article and why that doesn't make sense, and what does make sense, what is in accord with God's Word, as well as in accord with what we actually observe, which is what good science is really about, what we can observe. And we understand that, you know, no one but God was there when, in the beginning, he said, let there be, and there was. So we believe what God says rather than man's fallible ideas, including about how old the universe is and how everything came to be with the Big Bang and so forth. So God's Word is true, and it's all about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Well, thank you, Pastor Warren Worth. Another Creation Club next Friday morning here on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up after news, it's morning prayer.